your host. This is Channel Z, the Zeph Report. We are here Monday through Friday from 11 to noon Eastern Time in this slot, but actually it's 10 to noon Eastern Time, and that is Monday through Friday. We also have every Sunday the Sunday Cafe, which is, we just began that last Sunday. We will stream live on the net on that day. You can also quickly fast blast, we like to call it speedball. If you're there with a computer, you may get anything in. If I can't take your call, you can always email. We have a fast incoming email here, iamessage@yahoo.com. That's iamessage@yahoo.com. That's been working really well for us. We've been very blessed with that. And we've gotten some, and obviously if it's some comment I don't agree with, you know, I'm kind of the dictator here. So, we've been doing a study. Yes, I suggest those of you in this audience, in this time slot, who have any kind of problem with you have these rules that you're going by and you have these, all these ordinances and rules. Let me put it this way. I don't condemn that. That's fine. I'm at peace with people that are worshiping on Saturday, on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. And the thing is that I won't go into it any further than that. Just go read Romans 14, and that will kind of straighten you out as to where I'm at. I believe in the freedom of Jesus Christ and freedom in Christ. And at the same time, you know, it's very clear the Word of God says, don't condemn those that would either eat meat or not eat meat. Either side, do all things unto God. Who am I to condemn or to criticize another man's servant? And basically, you gotta really keeping the peace is a lot more. I don't know where some of you are coming from when you write. If you say the name Jesus, you've done some kind of a crime or whatever, and your writing is like a, you know, like a, you know, expletive throwing second grader or something. Is that really the Spirit of God? You know, everyone's wrong but you. No, people are going to worship in different ways, and people are different, and some have congregations that do this, some do that. Recognize your brothers and sisters that are on the same path as you. It's, you know, they may, I even recognize, by the way, kindred spirits who I will see or I sense their spirit in, that are in all kinds of endeavors in life and may or may not worship the way I do or look at life the way I do or look at spiritual issues the way I do. And, you know, that's, it's my choice to either condemn them and then therefore blow any chance of conversation or any chance of a blessing, or I can be led by the Spirit of God to those, to some over here and to others there. And the other way that I've learned things is this. Little here, little there. Truth to greater truth, to greater truth. And if you're a truth seeker, you will find the truth. You seek and you shall find. Well, that being said, let me jump into this real quick because we don't want to waste any time here. Our guest today, Greg Hallett, he was here last time and we had some technical difficulties over the last couple of weeks. Thank you for bearing with us. We are building new circuits, we have a machine here, a network with lots of moving parts, and it's expanding all the time. But sometimes you get into areas or glitches where it's just unbelievable. It seemed that it would go out during the show and then it would resume again after the show. But anyway, that's taken care of. There really was faultiness on our lines. We really had some technical issues. But anyway, Greg Hallett, what we started talking about, which was not recorded, the part of the interview that was so electrifying, which you did not hear this, was the part about pedophilia ruling the world, or pedophilia being a club, if you will, a club that without being a member, that is, by either giving consent. Well, I'm going to let Greg Hallett explain all this. Greg Hallett wrote the book. Well, Greg, first of all, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, down under.
Yeah, early down here.
It's early. What is it, like 4 a.m.?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yep.
So you're 3 a.m.
Late night or an early morning.
I hope you got to bed early.
No.
No.
We'll struggle through.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't take my advice and, you know, have a little hot toddy before.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, well, you know, your life is so interesting, Greg. You've been our guest before. You wrote this one book, Hitler Was a British Agent, which you have to get this book. He's also written 10 other books, which he's going to release at the proper time. It really is the truth about the way actually what it is it's a history book about the way the world really is.
It's how it operates, and it's how it is operated. So politicians are advanced on their sexual indiscretions and on shame from their sexuality, and their sexuality is recorded. And that makes the politician controllable. And it's not only politicians, it's also members of the judiciary, social services, and the police. And those who are the most sexually shamed are the most advanced. And they work together in twins. So if one person is attacked, they are then promoted by the other person as a cover. So as a result, the most sexually shamed people are promoted higher and higher. So that's why we get all these sexual scandals in the judiciary and in the police and in politics.
Yeah, well, I mean, that seems to be the thing that people have trouble dealing with. Why so many sexual scandals? Why does it seem this perversion is part of everything? Why is and you've answered that. You're saying basically, Greg Hallett, you're saying that perversion is a system.
Yeah, it's a major part of the system, equal in control to money. It's actually, pedophilia has more shame than money has kudos. So pedophilia is the greatest and most used system of advancing people into politics. And countries use it to take over other countries ideologically. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they get sexual deviance from countries that they're attacking, like during the Cold War, say Russia against New Zealand. And they get the most sexually perverse people and they take them over to Russia and train them in their ideology. They film them in their sexual perversion. They send them back to New Zealand, for example, with their twin, and then advance them politically. And whole hordes of New Zealanders were taken over to Russia and allowed to get into whatever sexual perversion they wanted. This was filmed and recorded. They were trained and deconstructed, trained in an ideology and deconstructed subconsciously.
Okay, so we're talking really about mind control, things like that. They're trained and deconstructed. They are trained with sexual deviance, or that's used in a way to control them.
It's good. The formula is sex, deconstruction, and bribes.
And bribes, so because no one would want to have that known to the public.
Yeah, and also they're financially assisted.
So
and in that way, the Soviets can take over New Zealand politics, judiciary, social services, and the police.
See, we've been talking. Okay, go ahead.
And advance their Soviet policies in New Zealand. And we've had a complete Soviet takeover of New Zealand in politics, judiciary, police, and social services.
Right.
And they've achieved 9 out of 10 things in the Communist Manifesto.
You see,
so
that's...
We now have KGB operatives running the country. I was on TV on the 29th of November, again on the 9th of February, saying that the Prime Minister was trained in St. Petersburg, and the former Attorney General, now Speaker of the House, was also trained in Russia. And I got no approaches from any media, no questions at all from anyone. Not even the politicians involved. And they're now Prime Minister and Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House controls the House. It controls who stays in the House and who gets kicked out and the whole direction of the talks.
So, okay, let me get this straight. You've accused them of being basically stealth Soviet agents, and nobody... also, I ask you to speak up a little bit, please, because we're having...
Okay.
It's a long ways over the ocean there. But... okay, this is what I really want to get at, because America is no different than New Zealand. So,
yeah, America is the same. New Zealand is generally the model from which everything else in the world follows. New Zealand is the experiment. It's the Western nation at the bottom of the world with about 4 million people, and things are tried out here first. And if they work, they're carried on to other countries.
Okay. All right. So the thing is about the Soviet. We've been talking about the fact that communism never really went away. The Communist Manifesto never went away. The Soviet program to corrupt and to control from within all nations on the earth never went away. But really, when you're saying Soviet, you're not talking about necessarily Russian, but satanic, I would think.
Well, Soviet communism and the mafia go hand in hand.
Okay.
Like Lenin and Trotsky were both mafia bosses, and Stalin did away with both of them and was essentially the next mafia boss until 1953.
Okay,
so when you're talking about mafia, you're also getting into a cult mafia, and when you're talking about the KGB, you're also getting into British control.
Yes,
it appears that Felix Dzerzhinsky created the KGB, and he had a whole load of British contacts, and he operated as the cover. His cover was the chief of the Russian Imperial Ballet, which became the Bolshoi. So they would he would go around with the ballet, tour around the world, and then develop agents, and Russian agents would leave the ballet company and do operations in the Western countries,
mm-hmm.
And then either rejoin the ballet or stay in the country.
But,
and there were various methods of leaking Soviet agents into Western countries. One was the Montreal Fair in 67, I think it was the World Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And another was the sinking of the Lermontov, the Mikhail Lermontov, in Cook Strait, which is between the North and South Islands of New Zealand, in 1986, where 52 KGB agents disappeared off the ship.
Okay.
And infiltrated into New Zealand.
My question, though, is really I want to go to more of a worldwide phenomenon. Why? It seems to me that pedophilia really goes to that which is satanic or occultic, in a sense. In other words, the same people involved in the occult would be involved in the pedophilia. Greg, do they have a, what you might say, a taste for this pedophilia? Is this, or is this something they have to learn how to do to be a member of the club? I mean, and I'm talking about the worldwide trafficking in children. It's an abomination. And are you also saying, Greg, that in order to lead a major corporation, a country, whatever, to be one of those made men, let's say, or women, you have to be a party to this? Is that right?
Yeah. You have to be completely blind or a party to it, and 90% of the politicians are part of it. And it is their big secret.
And because people get killed over this. Well, I posted an article just in support of our interview today by Ted Gunderson. It was an ex-FBI agent. He also has a radio show every week, I believe. And he did all this, law enforcement type of research as to who the players were regarding the Franklin cover-up and many other scandals. Had all the information, had these people dead to rights. And instead of law enforcement doing anything about it, people wound up getting killed, disappeared, and the federal government has never mentioned it. Like you being on TV and saying, you know, the prime minister basically was trained in St. Petersburg and is a Russian spy and a pedophile.
Yeah, well, she's definitely involved in that. Like, we have a massive problem with pedophilia in the police force. And when a police officer is found to be a pedophile, they're promoted.
Okay, so the chief of police would be like...
Sometimes they're given their own department. Sometimes a new department is created for them, and they're promoted into it.
No
one knows what it does.
When we began talking about all this, though, we talked about sexual corruption and deviance, like, for example, Hitler being homosexual and then or bisexual, but with women, he wanted to be defecated on. Urinated on, shamed, and then with men, he was mainly a homosexual, and that all that the Tavistock Institute promoted all that within him, and basically then built him up as Adolf Hitler and encouraged all those perversions, and then controlled him his whole life.
Absolutely, even after his death, like they faked his death and. 30th of April 1945, and he died in 1950 in Spain.
Yeah, 1950, a lot longer. And then having this very strange other element to the story involving Ian Fleming, the author of the famous 007 James Bond series, and that there really was a James Bond, and that there really was a spy network, and all these networks go to pedophilia, blackmail, shame, guilt, mafioso tactics around the world, in all countries, in the United States, France, Spain, England, Belgium, UK, you know, all over the UK, down there, Australia, New Zealand, the whole Western world basically is involved in this cover-up and conspiracy. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, and it's controlled. It's controlled. A lot of it's controlled from Russia, and the Russians are controlled by the Israelis. And it's just come out that Jews, 92% of them, come from Russia, from Rostov-on-Don, on the northeast coast of the Black Sea.
So okay.
The Jews have a massive Russian connection.
Well, but when we say that, I mean, it's getting into a racial thing. What we're talking about is you're talking about the those that are in kind of like a certain kind of mafia. In other words, there are criminals, there are non-criminals, there's all kinds of Jews, right? There's some that are, some that aren't, there's some that are Zionists, there's some that are Torah, you know, there's a whole cross-section. You're talking about a certain kind of what I would call part of the Russian mafia that you're talking about criminal politics in Israel, just like criminal politics in the U.S., right?
Well, if we look at the leaders of the Second World War, Churchill was an American Jew. Roosevelt was an American Jew. Stalin was a Jew, supposedly a Rothschild.
But they don't.
And Hitler was a Jew. And
but they're not. I wouldn't call those spiritual Jews, though. I would just say you're talking about a racial thing. Then you're not talking about God-fearing people, right? If they're pedophiles.
No. God-fearing is something that the masses do.
I'm just trying to, you know, not you know, do the whole broad brush thing here. I'm trying to get into the truth of this matter, which is that it just the rabbit hole seems to me to come from hell. In other words, it goes all the way to hell, and hell orchestrates all of these things upon the earth.
It actually creates the hell.
Okay, so but the mind-blowing thing to me is that pedophilia rules the world.
Yep. It's MPAD, MPAD, money, pedophilia, arms, and drugs.
Now, last time we talked, Greg, you talked about there are three kinds of people in, say, New Zealand politics. There were pedophiles, obviously. They have the best jobs, right? The most powerful.
Yeah, they get promoted to the highest political position.
Okay. Then you have pedophile enablers. These people have good jobs, too.
Yeah, pedophile enablers, pedophile minders, pedophile promoters, physical pedophiles, computer pedophiles, and child sex abusers. And child sex abusers are children 14 to 16, and pedophilia is children under 14.
Under 14 would be then, if you, okay, that would be pedophilia. What happens to these kids? Now, it's very, I know a lot of people are thinking, yeah, but where do they get all the kids and what happens to them? I understand some wind up being killed. Do they all get killed or?
They're often shipped between countries. Like at the end of the Second World War, a lot of Polish children have been used during the war by the SS in places like Salon Kitty in Berlin, which was a German sex club. That was filmed by the Germans, and a lot of British went there, and it gave the Germans control over the British. And there were various other clubs that gave British control over the Germans. And a lot of the SS sex slave children in Berlin, they were Polish children, ended up coming out to New Zealand. And when they were brought out to New Zealand, they were actually used again for the same purpose. They were turned into SIS, Security Intelligence Service children, and they were used to entrap politicians once again.
But wouldn't the politician, they would have a penchant for pedophilia, otherwise they wouldn't get in trouble. They wouldn't be blackmailable, I should say.
Both. They're led into it. The politicians can be drugged. The children can be drugged.
Okay.
But it's as long as it's filmed, it's utilized.
Okay, so it's
not uncommon for the children to be murdered. It's quite common for murdered children to be victims of pedophilia.
So you could drug the child, drug the politician, film them in a tryst with a child, then kill the child, and it's all on the politician's head if he ever steps out of line.
That's the one. And not all of them are drugged. Some of them are quite conscious of what they're doing. And some of the politicians have been victims of pedophilia themselves. And pedophilia tends to be an intergenerational thing. Like, a lot of pedophiles were pedophile victims themselves. So it's an ongoing cycle.
It's just incredible. It's an incredible story. All right, that this was finally at the bottom line of everything. It comes down to this, to filing of innocence, really. All right, we got a question in our speedball, we call it, the fast blast speedball. That's iamessage@yahoo.com. You can also call in if you want to ask Greg a question at 877-ZEFFNET, 877-937-4638. That's a toll-free call, international, 505-473-1627. That's 473-1627. But from our iamessage@yahoo.com, that's our way in during the show. It says, I got a question for your guest. The first interview you did with me, I guess, Greg, you made mention of developing a technique for reconstructing the subconscious. Can you tell me a little bit about more? He wants to know more about this technique of reconstructing the subconscious.
Okay. The subconscious is the link between the brain and the mind. Most people use the brain and operate in their life just with their brain. Now, when you get to utilize the mind works virtually as a Google search engine all over the universe, and it pulls in whatever you need and whatever you want to create in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get to write the subconscious language that talks between the brain and the mind, you can then achieve phenomenal things that appear to be almost magic. Now, deconstruction was the opposite, and that is focusing the mind of the person on the politics of a foreign country. Now, the Soviets specialized in deconstructing the minds of Westerners so that person would operate entirely for the benefit of the Soviet policies in their Western country. Now, you can effectively develop your mind so that it operates as many minds and pulls in information and events into your life on many different levels and in different programs. And once you've developed the brain-mind connection, you can then start to run programs that influence other things in other people's lives.
That's interesting, that pull things into your life?
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, when you develop When you reconstruct the mind, you pull in everything that you've written into that person's life, into your own life, on that direction. So if you wanted to write, say, a program on, let's say, gravity, if you wanted to rewrite the formulas on gravity, you would write a program for the brain-mind connection along those lines, and then eventually, it might take 20 years, you'll get people that come into your life that talk about gravity, and it'll be the latest information on gravity.
Okay.
And you'll come up with phenomenal information, and then, 10 years later, you'll be talking to people, and you will know more than the experts.
But it begins with a program that's written?
Yeah, the... Well, what I did is I saw that the Soviets, when I was interviewing the KGB in Moscow, I saw that the Soviets were deconstructed as a people.
Wow.
So what I did was write a program for reconstructing the subconscious.
So you
and
wrote the
part of that.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And then as part of that, I leaked that out in January 2002, and in February 2002, Prime Minister employed 6 KGB agents into New Zealand for whatever reason, we don't know. And on the 25th of March 2002, I went on the radio and said that Helen Clark had been deconstructed by the KGB. And then in July 2002, I had a Western scientist who worked in St. Petersburg, which was the center of deconstruction in Russia. He had got the KGB equipment for deconstructing the subconscious, converted it to reconstructing the subconscious, flew out to New Zealand, asked to see me, and then we met. He stayed with me for 3 weeks and briefed me on reconstructing the subconscious, and he showed me the equipment that the KGB used. And then he trained my subconscious into various things that I wanted to do. Now, I was also working on gravity, and he was also a specialist on gravity. So in the, let's say, 10 years that I'd been working on this, I got a two-in-one hit. I got a guy who came from the opposite side of the world who had the information and equipment on reconstructing the subconscious and the information on gravity, flew out to New Zealand and briefed me for 3 weeks. So it's the ability of the mind to draw in whatever is required from wherever it exists to come to you and give you the information in a form that you can understand.
Okay.
It's an absolutely, absolutely powerful tool. Reconstructing the subconscious is one of the most powerful tools on the planet, and that's why no one knows about it.
Okay, we've got another question. Greg, who would be involved in the USA and... okay, let me start with this. We talk about New Zealand, but also you say the USA is similar. Are there people, I mean, we had Operation Paperclip, obviously, and other operations. There's advanced and psychological operations. And I would think if you wrote a program for reconstruction of the subconscious, they'd want to talk to you too. Is the USA immune from this, or are there people, players involved in this same technology you're talking about here in the USA?
Absolutely, yes. Operation Paperclip was basically a Nazi takeover of American, NASA was taken over.
Right.
And eventually the Pentagon was taken over by the Bolsheviks. So...
That's going to be hard for a lot of people to really believe that Dr. Strangelove actually took place without the nuclear war.
Well... What we get on the news is so simplified that there's virtually no news. We haven't had any news for 30 years. Like the Cold War was all the news we got on the Cold War was a complete cover up, a total cover up. We had double agents right through New Zealand and right through America. We had. People who were sexually compromised, which were reaching the highest positions in America, both in politics and in the military. And we had, most of the Cold War was actually a joint venture operation between the Americans and the Russians. And a prime example of that was the Trawler Wars. And the Trawler Wars started in about 1978 and went through to about 1987. And the American and Russian trawlers were working in a joint venture. And the American trawlers would hang a speaker from below their boats. And the speaker would play submarine noises. And the Russian trawlers were bound and contracted to follow the sounds of American submarines. So the American trawlers would go to the far ends of the earth, and the Russian trawlers would follow. And then the American and Russian submarines would follow them. And that was the way that the Cold War was expanded. And in New Zealand, the American submarines used to hide in Fiordland, because in the deep rocky sound, there were magnetic anomalies, and the submarines couldn't be spotted by sonar. So we had the sounds, which is in the southwest of the South Island. They would have American nuclear-armed and nuclear-powered submarines lying in there from 1978 to 87. And the Russian submarines would also be there, and the American fishing trawlers would be there, and the Russian fishing trawlers would be there. And the Israelis used the same sounds for military training exercises. So we had this supposedly incredibly tense Cold War, and in these isolated sounds we had American and Russian submarines, American and Russian fishing boats, and Israeli military all enjoying the same sunshine. Now occasionally the American and Russian trawlers would party together, and the American supposedly fishermen would get onto the Russian boats, and there are occasions where one American sailor had sex with one Russian sailor's girlfriend on the boat, and then the Russian sailor killed his girlfriend and threw her overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another occasion where the American naval officer, naval petty officer, Mr. Walker, he got the American codes for the trawler wars and encouraged his sons to join the U.S. Navy, and then gave the American communication codes to his sons, and his sons sold them to the Russians over 10 years, and it nearly cost the Americans the trawler wars. So the whole thing of the Cold War being a an exercise America against Russia was just a ruse. Like, America and Russia were in joint venture operations building cities together. They built the city of Kaliningrad, 40 kilometers north of Russia, together in 1962. And that was full of seven-story apartments, but no one lived in them. The entire apartments were laboratories, so you had Americans and Russians working together, developing new technologies. And we were all always told that it was a high tension between America and Russia, but it wasn't. It was just in the media. As a result, very few people got killed in the Cold War. But what did happen was that the whole world got militarized. And that was part of Operation Blade and Operation Gladio. And they were about setting up caches of arms all around the world. So what we had with the trawler wars in New Zealand was the nuclear-armed and nuclear-powered build-up of America and Russia all around the world. And then Helen Clark, who I've identified as being trained in Russia, in August 1985, she organized the South Pacific Nuclear Free Treaty. And in 1987, the New Zealand Nuclear Free Disarmament and Arms Control Act. And what that meant was that the American nuclear-armed and nuclear-powered ships and submarines then had to leave New Zealand waters, and that left the Russian nuclear-armed and nuclear-powered submarines in New Zealand. So it was another Vietnam where America created conflict with the communists and then pulled out. So that brings into question... what was the role of America in the war, and it seems to be, in the Cold War, and it seems to be to Sovietize the Western world, which is what it achieved. We've now got communist countries everywhere.
So are we now in a cleanup phase, Greg? Is this the, they won the war, now it's the cleanup, just getting everything organized?
There's argument to say that the Cold War actually started in 1991. So the Cold War actually finished only once the Sovietized politicians had got into power in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So the Berlin Wall was something to leapfrog over. And as soon as the Berlin Wall dropped, there was this communism right through the West.
Right.
Politicians.
Okay, so they completed the mission. And that's the way I hear you saying. And so now we have this world, and I know a lot of folks out there are listening. They really want to know. Okay, so now that we have the world we have, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, UK, pretty much the whole thing conquered in this way. The New World Order is alive and well, thank you very much. It's already here. It's not coming in the future. It's already here. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Like in World War II, Germany was supposedly a fascist country, and now it's a communist country. America is a communist country led by a fascist oligarchy, pretty much a fascist oligarchy of sexual deviance. And New Zealand is now an almost completely Sovietized country.
So
right through to the judiciary. And the judiciary in New Zealand is becoming increasingly acknowledged as an occult mafia.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an honest heterosexual, you can't even get your evidence heard in New Zealand.
That's mind-blowing. They yeah. judge you based on your sexuality. If you're heterosexual,
yeah,
you're evil.
Yeah, and when you go to, there's five judicial arms in New Zealand. There's the Supreme Court, which is, no one's got any faith in it. No one's ever even tried it. It's been going for about 18 months, and no one's got any interest in it because of the people who run it. Then you've got the High Court and the District Court and the
yeah.
Family Court and the Disputes Tribunal. And when you go to the Disputes Tribunal, you have to fill in a form. Which is based on your gender, and it says male, female, other. And if you tick other, you've got a huge advantage, and you also have to fill in your race. And if you're of a minority race, you've also got a huge advantage. And the court, the disputes tribunal is so corrupt that if you're a crying woman, you're considered a notary public. That is, that anything you say is certified as evidence. And it's the same in the family court. If you're a woman who cries in the family court, your information is considered evidence.
So if you, okay, so let's say you're a woman's got a vendetta against this guy, she cries rape, cries in the court, and he goes to prison, no matter what happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we have a fantastic number of false rape charges. And we also have a massive pedophile cover-up going on. We've got a lot of New Zealand pedophiles in Australia who are to be deported to New Zealand, and the Prime Minister is refusing to have them deported to New Zealand for trial. And the Catholic judges in Australia are saying that they're not going to send the pedophiles to New Zealand because the courts are too corrupt. The courts are too corrupt, but they're principally the New Zealand courts are a pedophile movement that protects pedophiles. And this is just another collusion to protect pedophiles. In September 2004, US Customs named 75 pedophiles in New Zealand. And the Prime Minister did nothing about it until it came up again in Time magazine on the 3rd of February 2005. And two of the people on the list were the most prominent New Zealanders. And they were then promoted to the highest political positions in New Zealand and not tried.
Okay.
Tragic.
All right. So basically, the view of the world that you paint is really very dark, Greg. How do you get through your life knowing what you know? How do you now live a peaceful life or find joy just having...
I talked to you on radio.
Okay. You read this book. Hitler was... My guest, Greg Hallett. Hitler was a British agent. Greg, please tell them how they can get this book and get started down this, if you want to go down this road. I do, because I want to know. Basically we're a kind of a spiritual show, but our Lord tells us, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. In other words, know what the enemy is up to. Know the information. And of course, if you're a Christian, obviously, if you're a heterosexual Christian, in a real one in New Zealand, you're really in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Christianity is really struggling in New Zealand. It's getting headbanged by the communists, because the communists are anti-religion. We've got near banishment on Christmas. We've had a banishment program on Santa Claus for the last 3 years. And we have pedophiles promoted. So, you know, we've got a situation where the non-pedophiles are being accused of pedophilia, and the pedophiles are being protected and promoted. So we've got our Prime Minister's a lesbian as well. He's a lesbian as well as being KGB.
Okay. Let me get to the...
Well acknowledged as a lesbian. Well acknowledged.
All right. Well, let me get on to the next topic, and that's called world safety. The New World Order is in place. It's a basically a pedophile network and the enablers of pedophilia.
And yep, they have empowers and promoters, yep.
Okay, empowers and promoters. Also, mind control is a big part of it. Deconstruction, reconstruction, training people up the way you want, then putting them in office and in leadership positions. The heterosexual, you know, a normal person would be, you know, obviously considered a freak by today's standards. Okay, a lot of people are worried, Greg, about, you know, nuclear war, the war in Iran, war itself. What does this mean about, if they've already conquered everything, is there a need for war? And killing?
Well, the reason America is attacking Iran is Iran has gone off the American dollar, and it's not owned by the Rothschild banks. It's not owned by the central banking system. And the leader of Iran is saying things which a free thinker would say, and that is a threat to America. So America and Israel are dead keen on nuking Iran. And the information that they're leaking out now about Iran has been available for the last 2 years. So they're doing a media beat up on Iran.
Right, right. So do you, okay, let me ask for your prediction here. Do you predict we are at war with Iran soon, or what is this leading to?
Well, you've got to really look at your American president.
Okay.
You know, he's been accused of kissing a 15-year-old boy in the White House. The son of a judge who was applying to become a Supreme Court judge, and you've got his wife apologizing for his homosexuality. And he's well known as a coke user and an alcoholic. So, you know, Americans need to look at their president and go, what is he?
So
to be a series of mental breakdowns.
So then he could be the guy in the bunker with the button, right? He could push the button and that's the end of it. I mean, in other words, if he's unstable, that's not a guy you want in head of security, right?
Well, you're starting to get a split in the American military, where the American military is realizing that all of the intelligence that's going public is fake. And the American military that is prepared to nuke Iran is getting promoted. So you're getting a shift in power based on false information, which is typically what happens. Like, all of the information that reaches the public is fake. It's always a media build-up, and the media is essentially the interface between the military and the public. And the public needs to educate themselves onto what's really going on, and in order to do that, they have to get through masses, absolutely masses of false information. You're not getting any real information at all. On the news, like there's no information on the public news about Saddam Hussein being an American agent.
Yeah, a lot of people know on the alternative news on these networks that we're on. Yeah, they talk about that. We know about that. We know about a lot of things, but it doesn't seem to cross that barrier into any kind of mainstream news. The people mainstream here are all mind controlled. They look to me to just be puppets.
Hairdos.
Puppets.
Talking hairdos.
Yeah, they're just puppets on a string, and they do and say whatever you want them to say, and you pay them, you know, millions of dollars a year just to entertain people.
Yep.
Or to babysit them. Really, Americans have become a nation of babies. So I guess the idea now is to babysit the Americans until someone decides to do something with us.
Well, yeah, you need to look at your president, and you know, the way he got into power in the last two times. It was both rigged elections.
We've had shows on that. Yes, the John Kerry skull and bones, George W. Bush Jr. skull and bones. One stands down, lets the other one win. That was the latest election.
That's the operation of twins again.
Twins. Okay.
Twins. Evil twins, essentially, or career twins, where whenever one's in trouble, the other promotes them. So you get these secret society twins reaching the top of politics or judiciary or police.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So.
Okay. So again, I pose the question: do you see war, world war, coming? Do you see these guys?
I'm trying not to, but you know, it's obvious that the military and the media, especially the American media, are doing whatever they can to advance people to war. Now, the byproduct of war in the Middle East is always increased fuel prices.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of war in the Middle East is to increase fuel prices. So in the beat up against the American agent Saddam Hussein, the oil prices have virtually doubled. And in the beat up against Iran, the oil prices will triple. And the idea is to get oil at such a level that the planet is virtually closed down. So we've got an oligarchy of oil-rich people who are controlling a massive communist society of people who are totally dependent on oil and who have to pay $5 a litre. Five New Zealand dollars a litre, about three American dollars a litre.
And it's going up all the time.
It's going up all the time, and that's the goal. You know, that's what George Herbert Bush achieved with his wars.
Yeah, because that way the petrodollars are more valuable so that the people holding our bonds don't sell the bonds. It's blackmail.
Yeah, and then at the same time, the value and trust in the American dollar is going downhill.
Absolutely. Yeah.
America, as a government, loses power, and the shadow world government that controls oil controls the American government and the economy, which it does through war, and the wars are created through media beat-ups using American double agents, like Saddam Hussein, and Osama bin Laden is both a British and an American agent. So George Herbert Bush used to run Saddam Hussein in the 1950s in Iraq.
Right.
And he had Saddam Hussein on roller skates, and he instructed Saddam to fix. They're either called frog bombs or turtle bombs, I'm not sure which. He got them, well, let's call them frog bombs, and they were, he would roller skate past any peace vehicle or any limousine that was involved in a peace mission,
mm-hmm.
and fix them to the petrol tank of the cars, and then twist the top of it, and 10 seconds later, a shot of flame would shoot through the petrol cap into the petrol tank, and the car would explode. So this created it was absolutely sabotage of any peace mission. Then we've got Saddam supposedly being captured on the 13th of December 2003, just in time for Christmas. And the bearded Saddam was a fake Saddam, and then they had a photo of a shaven Saddam posted at the same time. And bearded Saddam and shaved Saddam were two different people, taken at different times of the year. One was taken in winter, one was taken in summer. And then the Saddam Hussein that's in the courts being tried is not the real Saddam Hussein. Like Saddam's wife went in and saw the man and said, "Who's that man? He's not my husband."
Well, what are they? Okay.
He used to be an Iraqi lawyer, so the whole court trial of Saddam Hussein is a complete fraud.
What's the purpose of it?
The idea was to increase the fuel prices, which it's done dramatically.
Okay, so they have this mock trial going on. There's a mock war on terror. There's a mock war on drugs and a mock war on child molesters.
Yep.
And like you said before on our last interview that didn't get recorded, unfortunately, but you said that whatever they say they are, they're the opposite. So if they say they're the Homeland Security, they would be the Homeland Police State Tyranny Squad. Or if they
well,
say...
Well, the Homeland Security, they're actually organizing and covering up for acts of terrorism against their own country. Like, there's evidence that... with the New Orleans flooding, that the levees were bombed by either American or Israeli or both.
Yeah, we have
technology.
We have not only intel on that, but there was a shootout. I don't know if you followed that. There was a shootout afterwards where there was a report where several people were shot. They said they were armed civilians. What happened, though, those were apparently, according to some people, those were either federal agents or mercenaries who did the blowing up of the levees, who got into a shootout with the New Orleans police. And then that was covered up.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. Like, a lot of the IRA wars were and IRA conflicts were created by foreign mercenaries hired by Britain to go into Ireland and create conflicts so that the British military would then have to go into Ireland and settle the conflicts. So that was the excuse for the British troops being there. But the reason they did it was that Britain was storing virtually all of its nuclear arsenals in Northern Ireland.
Wow.
So the whole IRA complex that had been going on for 40 years have been created. And then we find that the one of the heads of the IRA, one of the two ICs of the IRA, was actually a British agent. So the whole thing is set up in the same way that World War II was set up, with Hitler being a British agent and Stalin being a British agent. Now, but Stalin was trained in Britain from 1907 to the 18th of January 1911. And Hitler was trained in Britain from February to November 1912. So when we look at these people who are supposedly evil, they're actually double agents to create war.
Because war is money.
Say again?
War is money. In other words, you know, to increase, they can get rid of useless eaters and make money at the same time.
Yep, yep. So what we've got is mind control and deconstruction and film sexual perversions are major players in war.
Is America deconstructed now? Are we being deconstructed? You looking at us from across the ocean there? What's happening to us psychologically?
Americans are being deconstructed at almost the rate that the Soviets were deconstructed under Stalin and Brezhnev.
Wow, that's some pretty heavy information.
Well, if you look at the what you get on the media, and you realize how false it is, and how many Americans watch that media and take it as their truth, then you can see the deconstruction on a massive scale. And a lot of the deconstruction happens en masse via TV, and it also happens via education. We've got rote learning education as opposed to investigative education, where people have to find the solution, they're taught the solution, and you learn the solution. So you learn to get your information given to you.
Okay, so we are being lied to, obviously. It's just the press is fiction, it's not nonfiction, it's fiction. And the purpose of it is, some people think, well, where it's leading is a depopulation of America and a reconfiscation of all the lands under the UN Agenda 21 in order to get rid of the useless eaters and bring the world into a much more containable, in other words, slaves, no middle class, slaves and masters. And bring it into that kind of, I guess you would call it an oligarchical, fascistic rule.
Yeah, yep. Well, when you talk about useless eaters, above useless eaters is the middle class, and it's the middle class that's getting eroded. The middle class is getting eroded by turning them into useless eaters.
It's correct. They are really being downsized. A lot of the tech jobs, a lot of the manufacturing here is gone. We had a very strong middle class. Up to about the last decade or so, but then with NAFTA and all these other policies, all that went out the window, and now what you have is basically America is a service economy. In other words, people do insurance, they do real estate, they do banking, but they don't make it. We don't make anything anymore.
It's all made in China now.
And you've got General Motors about bankrupt and all the. But the stock market is still going up because they keep inflating the economy. So people, mind control wise, Greg, they feel even though their value of the dollar has eroded, all they see is the bottom line. Their 401k hasn't gone down.
Yeah.
Even though underneath what they don't see is the value of the dollar is gone. Bread, milk, gas, all those things cost a lot of money.
Yep.
But they don't see that.
You see, George W. Bush is working as hard as he can for the destruction of America and the transfer of power to China and Russia.
Okay, and
he is absolutely a saboteur president.
I think there's a lot of our listeners, Greg, that completely agree with you. You have a lot of. I don't know where to begin for our next interview. What I'd like to do is talk about your writing programs for reconstructing. That's fascinating to me, and what role you play in all this, because you've let a couple things, you know, leaked out a little bit of information here that you're not just a commentator on history, are you? You're actually working on the side of good, trying to fix what's been damaged.
Well, when you get to write programs between the brain and the mind, it gets developed to a point where you're actually influencing history and taking a part in history.
Wow, that's interesting.
And what I've done is actually played a part in history. Because I've, from about 1979, I decided, well, you know, I can develop the brain. You know, it's pretty easy to do. But I'm going to develop the mind. So I've been working on it for about 28 years or so. And when you develop the mind, the most extraordinary things happen. And you almost have to explain to people how you've developed the mind before you can start to introduce ideas that will be believed on how you can influence history and what you've actually done.
Okay, that right there is the topic for the next. That is fascinating. That's our next. We got to. Well, that's what we will do next. I want to focus on the next talk about the mind, the part you played in history, and also the magical aspect of the mind, meaning things with it you're talking about, synchronicities and so forth, that appear to be supernatural or a result of some sort of programming, and groups of people coming together, the hive mind, mass thinking the same thoughts, mind control. It's just such a huge topic, but maybe we can get at it next time.
Yeah, the mind creates magic. It creates beneficial magic. And the whole of Western society and media has been based around removing the magic of the mind and enslaving the brain to believe whatever we're told on the media, and that's our fate and that we have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
But via the mind, if we learn to write the right programs, we can be a huge influence on history.
Well, it's fascinating topic. I come at it from a completely different standpoint about the mind and the spirit and eternity versus time and temporality. I have a different, a little bit different take on it, but this is so fascinating. I want to see where it's going next. Greg Hallett, give out your website, please.
www.angelfire.com/trek/spymaster. Spymaster sends his regards.
Say hello. Is the Spymaster a program, a person, or another aspect of you? Are you the Spymaster? Let me ask you, Greg. Are you the Spymaster?
No, a Spymaster is someone who has run other spies. And
okay.
I haven't. So it's not me.
Okay, Greg Hallett, stay right there. Thank you so much for this interview. This was great.
Welcome.
Great to get back in the saddle here. Okay, folks, that I don't know how much more cutting edge it gets than that. This is Zeph Daniel, your host. The end of the Zeph Report for today, for Monday. Here Monday through Friday, 5 Bisbee Court, 109 PM B16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. That's 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. We love you. We're praying for you. My mind's blown.